This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. And what a Wednesday it has been. Let's talk about this assassination, for lack of a better way to put it, in New York City. What's going on with Eric Adams? The culture war continues to break our way, and that's a good thing. Emails, voicemails, so much more coming up on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I'm going to begin here, and I'm going to be delicate with this because we are dealing with the death of a man, a father. The United Healthcare, the big insurance company, United Healthcare CEO, his name is Brian Thompson. He was assassinated this morning outside of a Hilton hotel in New York City, in Manhattan, New York City. There is video of this. Most of it that I've seen, by the grace of God, has been censored. I have people send me the uncensored version, but it's nothing. It's nothing like your kids can't watch. It's not like you see blood or anything like that. But I'm just going to say, well, I'll let the NYPD, I'll let them have their say first, and then I'll give you my take on the whole thing, just to lay this out for you, because I know you probably can't see it right now. The man's walking, the CEO is walking, Brian Thompson's walking down the sidewalk. A man emerges right behind him, kind of comes in from a car. He's like hiding behind a car, emerges right as the dude walks by. Pulls out a weapon. The weapon looks like it's suppressed. It has a suppressor, a silencer on it. Looks like it's suppressed. Dude shoots him in the leg, racks the weapon, has to rack it again, shoots him again, has to rack it again. Looks like he gets a little closer because the guy's down on the sidewalk this time and finishes him off with a kill shot. The dude then, as calm as I am talking to you now, just starts walking away and allegedly walked either right into or right by Central Park, which is really the only part of New York City that doesn't have a camera on it. So the NYPD said this morning.
What we know is that the shooter arrived at the location on foot about 5 minutes prior to the victim's arrival. The shooter steps onto the sidewalk from behind the car. He ignores numerous other pedestrians, approaches the victim from behind, and shoots him in the back. The shooter then walks toward the victim and continues to shoot. It appears that the gun malfunctions as he clears the jam and begins to fire again. At the scene, we recover three live 9mm rounds and three discharged 9mm shell casings. The motive for this murder currently is unknown, but based on the evidence we have so far, it does appear that the victim was specifically targeted, but at this point, we do not know why. This does not appear to be a random act of violence. From watching the video, it does seem that he's proficient in the use of firearms, as he was able to clear the malfunctions pretty quickly.
I am not going to dwell a long time on this because some children just lost their father this morning, and I don't want to exploit that and use it for radio purposes. It just feels gross to me, so I'm not going to go there. But I am going to say, I've watched this video many times, that human being doing the shooting is insanely calm. The weapon, it appears, as you just heard him lay out, it appears to jam after each time he shoots it. And for you people unfamiliar with guns, I understand that you may be extremely familiar with guns, so just bear with me as I kind of break this down a little bit for those who are not. A semi-automatic pistol You shoot it, and it's gas operated, meaning the force that shoots the round also ejects the empty shell casing and puts a new round into the chamber, right? It makes sense. You with me so far? Kind of the explosion dumps the old round and gives you a new one. And that's why you can pop, 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 pop. That's why you can shoot like that. It's semi-automatic. If there's a variety of reasons that a weapon would not eject the round properly or put in the new round properly. If you use a suppressor, a silencer, that can mess that process up. I'm not going to get into why, but that can mess that process up. If you use rounds that are known as subsonic, that's what they are, subsonic. Again, I don't want to nerd out on gun stuff in case this confuses you. Subsonic is slow, extremely slow. Why would you ever want a round that's slow instead of fast? Because it uses less I'll just call it black powder. It's not really what it is, but it uses less black powder, and so it's quieter. Subsonic, it's slower because it's lower. See what I did? What, Chris? Anyway, subsonic is quieter. So if you really wanted to make a shot as quiet as possible, you would put a suppressor on a weapon, and you would use a subsonic round. Now, I should say, sadly, the movies are not correct with how a weapon sounds when there's a suppressor on it. It doesn't pew, 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 do this little spit thing on there. It smacks. It would pop, pop, pop. It's just a lot less loud than it normally is. So even this would have made a noise like a shoe dropping, I guess, like smacking a shoe on a desk or the floor or something like that. It would make that much noise. If you are using both subsonic rounds and a suppressor, the weapon is going to be the most prone to jamming. It just will be. The guy looks like he planned for that. If you watch the video, he doesn't look like he's freaking out because the weapon jams. It doesn't even look like there's the slightest bit of hesitation. He shoots, racks it again. Shoots, racks it again. Shoots, racks it again. As calm as you can possibly be. And then just disappears into the ether. You know how quickly suspects are usually acquired in New York City? Because it is one of the most surveilled cities in the world. There's just cameras everywhere, every street corner, every business. And this whole thing's on camera. You can watch the assassination. And this guy is able to very calmly hop on a bike, they say, a city bike, and just slip away. I don't want to sit here and say it was professional. Because there are various degrees of professional. Whenever you say it was professional, people think, well, it must have been a Delta Force-trained assassin who worked with Mossad, and now he's in the private sector. There are various degrees of professional. You know, the mafia will pay some dirty gangbanger $100, $200 to go shoot someone in the head just because he's willing to do it and he's shot it before. That counts as professional. If I pay you $50 to go shoot somebody, you're a professional killer, right? So there's degrees of professional. And I'm not saying it's professional, but that guy was there for a purpose. And that purpose was to kill Brian Thompson. And I bet you, we don't do a lot of true crime on this show, I bet you as the days tick by, I bet you we are going to find out a bit more to this story. This is fascinating. But also frightening. And a reminder to all of us, myself included, all of us who carry and train with our weapons and try to make sure we can protect ourselves and our loved ones and things like that, a reminder that you can do everything right. And if the right guy is motivated and organized and calm enough, he's still going to get you. It's just... not a whole heck of a lot you can do if someone slips up behind you in a New York sidewalk in the dark and starts putting rounds into you. There's just not much you can do. Sad, sad, sad state of affairs. Speaking of New York City, Eric Adams has publicly now announced that he intends to work with Donald Trump on deporting illegals. every other Democrat in the country, that Denver's mayor, all these other Democrats, New Jersey, they're all coming out saying they're going to resist, and we have to stop him. We can't let Donald Trump deport the maids. What about the women and the children? Eric Adams, mayor of New York City, has come out and said, no, they're here. What did he say? Quote, those who are here committing crimes, robberies, shooting at police officers, raping innocent people have been a harm to our country. He is announcing he intends to work with Donald Trump to deport illegals. Remember when Eric Adams started coming out publicly speaking against all the illegals flooding into New York? And then remember about 5 minutes later, the FBI started arresting people in Eric Adams' circle. And then here we are, 5 minutes after that, Eric Adams is announcing he's going to work with Donald Trump to deport the illegals. There's an interesting turn going on. Oh, yeah, play it, Chris. Go ahead.
We need the federal government to lead a decompression strategy at the border so cities and states across the nation can do their part to shelter asylum seekers. Because cities like New York, Boston, Chicago, Los Angeles, Houston, and El Paso cannot be left to shoulder a national crisis without the proper aid. Again, if we don't get the support we need, New Yorkers could be left with a $12 billion bill.
And then the FBI showed up at his house, or his office. Interesting, isn't it? Anyway. Are you supporting the IFCJ yet with what they do? They're on the ground helping people. They're on the ground handing out food to people who need it. Building bomb shelters for the people in Israel who are under rocket attack daily. Flak jackets. And it's just so sad to me that this is necessary. Armored ambulances. Imagine living in a place where you have to have an ambulance that can withstand gunfire or you might not make it to the hospital. But that's where they live. There were a lot of people in ambulances who didn't make it to the hospital on October 7th because Hamas gunned them down in the ambulance. You want to support the IFCJ? Support the people of Israel? Call 888-488-IFCJ or go to supportifcj.org. All right? The culture's breaking our way. Emails, voicemails, next.
Truth, attitude, Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Love, hate, death threats, all are welcome. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Yes, I just repeated myself. It happens sometimes. You can also leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373.
You're a idiot. You know that? You think you're so religious. You're nothing but a You don't know nothing about the Bible. If you did, you wouldn't be speaking the way you would. You wouldn't be voting for Trump. You're a you know that. I want you to, and I cuss you all day long. I was raised in an independent Baptist church, and you are just like them. You want to control everybody. You think lie like a just like your buddy Trump. Survive.
Anyway, they're not all like that. Some are like this.
Hi, Jesse. I just wanted to say something about this thing with Hunter and his father, the pardon. That is ridiculous. I don't care who he is. He should never have done this. He should never have pardoned his son. It should have been a conflict of interest. And as far as I'm concerned, they both should be tried and convicted and imprisoned for.
They should be. You think you're angry now? Just wait until he pardons Fauci. That's what these preemptive pardons, they're floating around out there right now. There's a rumor. It's more than a rumor. It's being widely reported that they're talking about preemptive pardons for Fauci, Liz Cheney, other people who've committed crimes. How long have I been telling you the government now is a criminal organization? We have a criminal organization running the country. This is where we're at. Jesse, you made me laugh talking about Ajo. There are probably seven people who know anything about that place. When I was in high school, I lived in Phoenix, had a girlfriend whose mom had a place in Rocky Point, Mexico. Oh, that's sweet. I bet that's fun. One weekend, we were driving down there, and the car died outside of Ajo. We got a lift into town by some locals and had to stay overnight at the Ajo Motel. Good grief. Ajo, Arizona. Woo! It was rough. And, you know, it was sad. There's a lot of... I have a little bit of experience like this because, you know, I was born in Ohio, and my family's all from Ohio. Really, most of them are still in Ohio. Pennsylvania is a big thing. We were always down in West Virginia. The Rust Belt is really where so many of my family roots go. And Ajo, it reminded me of the sadness of a lot of the Rust Belt. The reason the Rust Belt is called the Rust Belt is you have these towns, you have these cities that oftentimes they center around one industry, and usually it's one or two factories or plants. When I was a kid in Toronto, Ohio, it was, and it may still be this way, I don't know, it was the power plant. The power plant was a major, major deal, a major thing, and you either knew someone who worked at the power plant or you worked at the power plant yourself. I remember all my friends. My dad's at the plant. Your uncle's at the plant. He's at the plant. Ajo, Arizona was a mine, a copper mine, if I remember right. It was a mining town. And so you get this town that sprouts up around it. And then for a variety of reasons, mines close in the Rust Belt. A lot of the reasons were our politicians, Democrats and Republicans, who closed down American manufacturing. And what happens, like if it were to happen in Toronto, Ohio, against a very small town anyway, if the power plant closes, the town itself is wiped out. The plant is the town. And there are places like this, coal towns all over West Virginia. Again, this is how I grew up. I grew up in these places. And it really is the forgotten part of the country. And it saddens me so much when this devastation just descends on these places, the place where everyone works, the place that drives all the industry, it dries up, and you end up with a town like Ajo, Arizona. I was actually joking about Ajo with Aub last night. I got home, and Aub and I were hanging out and just chilling last night, talking about a lot of stuff. And we were talking about her coming 8 months pregnant to Ajo to try to stay there. And she was laughing about the fact Ajo has two restaurants, Dairy Queen and Pizza Hut. And I don't mean, it's not like I'm skipping, oh, I'm sure there's a bunch of little, maybe a sandwich shop here. No. If you're leaving your house to eat, you will eat at Dairy Queen or Pizza Hut. It was the only place you could go. And it used to be, it wasn't always like that. And the Rust Belt people know exactly what I'm talking about. Towns, when the plant closes, when the factory closes, everything changes, and it just devastates generations, really. Generations. Jesse, 300 years ago, all the homes had firearms. Their children grew up learning everything they needed at their maturity level. Now I believe that firearm safety and training should be mandatory K through 12. Oh, I totally agree. In fact, I think they should bring back shooting in schools. Shooting classes in schools used to be an American thing where you learned gun safety, you learned respect for the weapon, and you learned the basics. I mean, nothing major. You learned the basics at using a gun. Using a gun is an important skill to learn, and if you don't know how to do that, go learn. There are all kinds of hunter safety classes, firearms classes, incredible stuff for all levels. Maybe you're already a super stud. They've got classes for you, too. All these Navy SEALs and Delta Force types, they all leave and they go start these wonderful training programs. They'll really teach you how to be a beast. Done for you real estate, they'll teach you how to retire. With real estate, you see. Hard assets. Things haven't changed economically worldwide just because we won an election. The future is what it always has been. Hard assets. Land. Precious metals and real estate. Land, precious metals, and real estate. Done For You Real Estate has the real estate portion of that covered for you. They will find you the property. They'll find it in the best markets. They handle everything, the closing, the financing. They handle it all. They handle the rental process. You, normal person, begin acquiring real estate. It'll just be one to start out, but you'll find out they'll get it to two, three. Right, F10 one day, retiring on it. Go to doneforyoujesse.com and find out what they can do for you. People have retired on it. Doneforyoujesse.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an incredible Wednesday. All right, I'm in a great mood, as you can tell, and I've been having a good time, but we do... It's going to be a little bit heavy for a second. Just bear with me because I feel an obligation to do this. We had Josh Hammer on earlier in the show. It was during the first hour. If you missed it, you might want to bone up on that. You might want to listen to what he had to say about what happened in the Supreme Court today. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, go download the podcast if you missed it. But I want to play a couple things for you here. First, I want to play, this is a little long. Her name is Katie Lennon, and she's talking about detransitioning, and I just want you to listen to this young lady.
I'm a detransitioner, and I live in Lowell, but I work, worship, and do business in Nashua, and so I'm an active community member of the 603, and I'm here in support of SB 272 today. So like many children and teens today, I identified myself as transgender for years. And when I started to feel confused and ashamed about my developing body, I asked everyone in my life to call me by a new name and use male pronouns to refer to me. So in other words, I went through a social transition from female to male. Everyone in my life immediately affirmed my new identity, either out of full support for it or just to stay neutral and not cause any issues. But the constant affirmation, both active and passive, solidified me in my transgender identity. No one meant to lock me into an identity that would later leave me broken, ashamed, and more confused than before. They were really all just being nice. But the social transition eventually wasn't enough, and I soon felt I needed to take testosterone. And when that wasn't enough, I had a double mastectomy. And when that still wasn't enough, I had a total hysterectomy, including the removal of my uterus, cervix, fallopian tubes, and both ovaries. There's no point of contentment during a gender transition. We get fleeting moments of euphoria, but ultimately one step leads straight into the next. And I thought that in the end, I could really become a man, but all I became was a mutilated and abused version of my old self. Social transition is a big deal, and we're lying when we say that any of this is reversible.
What we're allowing happen to children in this country is a national disgrace. It's a stain on this country, and it breaks my heart. That young lady, you heard her voice. They also adjust. They mess with your voice, and it's just that young lady will never have a child. She'll never be able to breastfeed a baby. It was all taken from her by extremely evil people, extremely naive people. We carve children up like Thanksgiving turkeys in this country. And the only reason I wanted to play this is I'm gonna play two other things for you, and I'm only gonna play them not to bring you down because I want to go back to screwing off. I'm not playing this to bring you down. I'm playing this because I need these reminders that what we do is important. I'm not doing a radio show. I'm not talking about that. That's not important. Fighting against this evil is important, and we can never give up. You're not allowed. I'm not allowed to ever give up. Because these people are freaking demons, and they are attacking and destroying children, destroying lives, and they're doing it on purpose. This is the tranny lawyer for the ACLU. I want you to listen to this.
There is no evidence that gender affirmative treatments reduce suicide.
What I think that is referring to is there is no...
That first voice you heard was Alito, not the tranny. Obviously, you know when the tranny comes in.
There is no evidence that gender affirmative treatments reduce suicide.
What I think that is referring to is there is no evidence in the studies that this treatment reduces completed suicide. And the reason for that is completed suicide, thankfully and admittedly, is rare, and we're talking about a very small population of individuals with studies that don't necessarily have completed suicides within them. However, there are multiple studies, long-term, longitudinal studies, that do show that there is a reduction in suicidality, which I think is a positive outcome to this treatment.
No, there aren't. They lie to parents all the time, telling parents that your child's going to kill themselves if you don't affirm their new choices. It's a lie. Psychiatrists lie about it. Doctors lie about it. The pharmaceutical industry lies about it because they want children to be hooked on all these ridiculous drugs and puberty blockers and antidepressants because it's money for them. All very demonic and evil. And if that wasn't bad enough, I want you to listen to this. This is Justice Sotomayor. She sits on the Supreme Court. If you ever wake up and you think about just giving it up, I don't want to do this political stuff anymore. I'm tired of the fighting. I think I'll just stick with sports. I can't do it. You cannot allow this demon to operate without being the opposition.
Cannot eliminate the risk of detransitioners. So it becomes a pure exercise of weighing benefits versus risk. And the question of how many minors have to have their bodies irreparably harmed for unproven benefits is one that is best left.
I'm sorry, counselor. Every medical treatment has a risk. Even taking aspirin.
That woman just compared Katie Lennon having no more breasts, no more uterus, no more woman's voice. She compared it to the risks that come with aspirin. I'll play Katie one more time because I want you to digest this. And I just want every now and then you need to pour a little fuel on the fire inside of you to keep you in the fight. This is the stuff that keeps me in the fight. Sotomayor just compared what this young lady went to side effects of taking an aspirin.
I'm a detransitioner, and I live in Lowell, but I work, worship, and do business in Nashua. And so I'm an active community member of the 603, and I'm here in support of SB 272 today. So like many children and teens today, I identified myself as transgender for years. And when I started to feel confused and ashamed about my developing body, I asked everyone in my life to call me by a new name and use male pronouns to refer to me. So in other words, I went through a social transition from female to male. Everyone in my life immediately affirmed my new identity, either out of full support for it or just to stay neutral and not cause any issues. But the constant affirmation, both active and passive, solidified me in my transgender identity. No one meant to lock me into an identity that would later leave me broken, ashamed, and more confused than before. They were really all just being nice. But the social transition eventually wasn't enough, and I soon felt I needed to take testosterone. And when that wasn't enough, I had a double mastectomy. And when that still wasn't enough, I had a total hysterectomy, including the removal of my uterus, cervix, fallopian tubes, and both ovaries. There's no point of contentment during a gender transition. We get fleeting moments of euphoria, but ultimately one step leads straight into the next. And I thought that in the end I could really become a man, but all I became was a mutilated and abused version of my old self. Social transition is a big deal, and we're lying when we say that any of this is reversible.
Stay in the fight. We are against demons, and you have to stay in the fight. Jesse, how much of that money is actually going to the citizens of Africa? Talking about Joe Biden handing out $1 billion to Africa. Well, it never actually gets to the people. It's not as if you're buying a bowl of rice or some toilet paper for somebody over there in Africa. It just goes immediately into the government, and it pops up on the news a couple years later that the head of the military of that country bought a $10 million house on a lake in Italy. And of course, that's what they do with your money. That's what our government does. That's how our government works. Now, as far as the population of this country, the culture of this country returning, the Washington Redskins, remember during that crazy St. George Floyd time, when they were taking, you know, Aunt Jemima off with the freaking batter, and the poor Lando Lakes Indian chick who was kind of hot, she got removed off of the butter. It was just this clownish time of ridiculousness. And of course, during this time, the crazy commies who want to destroy everything decent changed the name of the Washington Redskins to the Washington Commanders. There's been such an outcry and outrage over it, and the public is so over all this cultural Marxist filth that now they think they're going to change the name back. How amazing is that? Look, it's put a smile on your face. We may have turned the tide. We still have a million battles to fight, but we may have turned the tide. All right. The system's already doing its protect the illegals thing. We'll talk about that really quickly before we get to headlines I didn't get to. And I have the energy to get to all this because I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every day. It's probably, you know, I'm actually a little bit mad at Chalk, to be honest, now that I think about it. How could I break my new pen? It was so high quality. Well, it was two things. The size of my hands are huge, and the T levels, which are off the charts. I have too much testosterone to handle a normal pen. I need one that's maybe made of titanium or something, but even that probably won't work because I've been on a male vitality stack from Chalk for like 3 years. I don't even know where my T levels are by this point in time. The last time I checked, they told me I was pretty much Superman. Do you want to feel like that? What, Chris? Go to Chalk.com. It's Christmas special season. Natural herbal supplements, the highest quality, will have you feeling like $1 million. You might be able to break a good pen too. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Chris, you're going to make your own mustard? How does one even make mustard? What's in it? Is what? Mustard seeds? You know, Jesus has a parable about mustard seeds. Chris, you probably haven't read it because it's in the New Testament, but I'm telling you, it's pretty good. It's pretty good stuff. Wait, do you just mash up a mustard? There have to be some liquid. Okay, you grind it, but what's the liquid? Most of my mustard has been liquidy. Oh, vinegar. Okay, so it's mostly mustard seeds, though, with a little bit of vinegar? And you're telling me, like, the yellow tube, the French's, or what, the off-brand stuff, which I'm sure you buy in the grocery store, you're telling me that your mustard tastes the same? Better? Chris, everyone says that. If it doesn't taste better. You know, I'll tell you what we'll do. Since I assume your mustard tastes like hot, stinky garbage, I'm going to give you a chance to prove yourself. And in fact, we'll do this on the air. We'll do a blind taste test. Remember, everyone can watch me do the radio show now. They simulcast the show on the network where I do a TV show. On the first TV, you can watch me do a radio show if you want to look at these huge hands. So we'll do a blind taste test. What, Chris? What? That won't work. Yours has more texture. Chris, if you're not making mustard good enough, don't just say it. You don't have to sit. Don't try to back out now, Chris. Maybe yours doesn't have the same texture because yours sucks, okay? If you're not grinding it properly, then you're not grinding it properly. You can't give me some vinegary pebbles and then claim that your mustard is better than French's mustard or whatever kind people buy. So are you game for the taste test or not? Chris, do you want to? What? I'm going to give it a fair shake. I'll be blind. Of course I'll do it. I'll tell you what we'll do. No. We'll put it on a wiener. We'll make hot dogs. We'll make hot dogs. And so there'll be the wiener and the bun. And I'll only have mustard on each of them on camera, on the air live. I will be blindfolded. Corey can even be the referee. Corey, you get down to referee. On my life, I'll be an honest broker. I'll give your garbage mustard a try. And we'll see. So look, I put it out there. We'll see. We'll see what you can do with it. Maybe, just maybe, you've got a winner. But I doubt it, because it's you. Now, Trump's immigration crackdown could reduce caregiving workforce. They are going all in trying to protect the illegals. First, we were told that the strawberries wouldn't get picked. Then we were told that the houses wouldn't get built. Now we're being told that Meemaw is not going to have anyone to take care of her. I only brought this up because you need to know how far-reaching and pervasive this stuff is going to be. It's going to be propaganda after propaganda. Right now, they're just dripping it out there. Just a slow drip. Oh, what about Lupe? And it's just real slow now. But once the deportations begin, they're going to crank that bad boy into overdrive. Let's go to the voicemail.
I have to say, Menu Whisperer, I really enjoyed the tenderloin Thanksgiving story last night. Got a big chuckle out of that one. I know it wasn't pleasant for you. I can just imagine your dad from the next life looking on and saying, "All right, Menu Whisperer, you didn't do so hot with that tenderloin either, did you?"
That's exactly what my dad would have said too. Did I ever tell you? I actually read it at the funeral. Did I ever tell you the text message my dad sent out to the group when I remember I had that? I half joke about the book, but when I had that book published, I'm never going to be able to find it here on the air, but I'll just paraphrase because I have it about exact. I have it right here. When I had that book published, The Anti-Communist Manifesto, which is available at jessekellybook.com, we had this family group chat. Well, I guess we still do. It's just, obviously, Dad's not on it anymore. You want to know what my dad said? I had a book published. That's kind of a big deal, right? You know what Dad said? Quote, this is a direct quote. I'm reading it. I still can't believe that after taking Algebra 1 three times at community college, he wrote a book. Not very nice, Dad. Whatever. Hey, you want to go save a life real quick before we do a couple more emails and headlines? You want to save someone's life? There's a lot of giving we do that does a lot of good, and I know you do what you can. There's not a lot of giving we do that actually is responsible for people not dying. When you give to preborn, you are saving a baby's life. Preborn sets up these clinics in the highest abortion areas of the country, and they save lives every single day. 200 of them. They give the gift of ultrasound. These young women, they're confused, they're scared, and you know they believe the hype. Oh, it's just a clump of cells. It doesn't matter. It's not worth anything. It's easy to believe that hype until you hear a heartbeat. That clump of cells becomes a baby in that moment. If you get a woman a free ultrasound, if she gets an ultrasound, she will choose life almost every time. And preborn only does this with your help. And it is the Christmas season. You want to give in the name of a lost loved one, maybe? Or it's kind of a cool gift idea. Give and put, you know, a stocking stuffer. Hey, I gave in your name to preborn. I saved a life in your name. It's tax deductible coming up on the end of the year. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. All right. Sponsored by Preborn. Jesse, I heard the show for the first time today on 960 AM in the Bay Area. That's a great station. I'm dazzled. Ooh. Limbaugh level storytelling is the show gaining affiliates. The show has gained so many affiliates in just the last 6 months. I can't even list them all here. And I am sorry. I find that to be, in a way, the funniest thing in the history of mankind, that we just screw off so much here on the show and we have so much fun and people like it. I still can't believe anybody listens or that anybody likes this at all. What's wrong with you?
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Coffee hits highest price in nearly 50 years. I'm going to save you some money with coffee. I'm going to try to convince you from now on to drink your coffee black, like John Wayne intended. Don't shake your head, Chris. You can save money on coffee if you don't have to buy your little frou-frou creamers and sugar and things like that. Drink it like a man. New migrant caravan departs southern Mexico for the U.S. border. Y'all are going to go back. Just wasting a trip. Final House race is called. Democrat wins. The GOP has a 220 to 215 seat majority. The final House race was called. It is December 4th. What a disgrace. Macron wraps up Saudi visit due to a no confidence vote. Oh, please. You're French. Nobody has confidence in you anyway. Former House lawyers agree Hunter Biden can't plead the fifth after a pardon. That's the thing about this Hunter Biden pardon. He may have, in a way, screwed himself. We will be back for a wonderful Thursday show tomorrow. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
About something about a comedic tone.
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.